government is spending more and more money on health care.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. A new report out today in the journal Health Affairs makes clear that the U.S. government will be spending a bigger chunk of its budget on health care, at least if the health care reform law goes into effect, as everyone expects. Marketplace's New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore is with us from the studios of Station WNYC with more on that. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Steve.
So how will we be spending our healthcare dollars in the future?
Well, this report says that in about 8 years, the government will be paying about half of the nation's healthcare spending. Right now, it spends about 45%. And of course, we're going to see a little bit less from private businesses, too. There are a few reasons for it. A lot more people will be included in Medicaid. The population is getting older, so we'll have more people on Medicare. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people who have small incomes will find the government picking up their bill.
Medicare, Heidi, has come up a lot in this debate, this debt ceiling debate that's going on in Washington. Does the report say anything about government debt and how big the government should be?
The report doesn't say anything, but you know it's going to come up. The debt ceiling debate in Washington right now is centered on the cost of programs like Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. And the changes are long and they're really expensive. So, for instance, the cost of the health care bill was expected to be about $940 billion over 10 years. This report says the government will be picking up 5% more of the bill in 10 years. So we just paid $940 billion to get the government to pick up 5% more of the bill. But what we're not really coming to grips with is that healthcare is just costing us more in general, and we haven't figured out how to get those costs down.
Marketplace's Heidi Moore reporting from New York. Heidi, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
And speaking of the debt ceiling, there could be a vote as soon as this afternoon in the U.S. House on a plan that Speaker John Boehner has put forward that would raise the debt limit enough to avoid default, at least for a few months. Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now by the average of about 0.5%. The Dow up 0.5%. 60 points, 12,363. The NASDAQ and S&P each up as well. Some good news on the job front this morning. Fewer people filed for first-time unemployment claims last week. 24,000 fewer to under 400,000. That's according to a Labor Department report out this morning. Number of people in the process of buying a home rose a bit between May and June. That's according to a report out today by the National Association of Realtors. And chances are a number of those houses being sold are in urban areas. That's because the least amount of people in U.S. history are now living in rural areas. It's according to new data from the Census Department. 16% of Americans live in areas that are not a part of a metropolitan area. Kenneth Johnson is a senior demographer with the University of New Hampshire. He's with us now from Boise, Idaho, where he'll be speaking today about rural populations. Morning, Kenneth.
Good morning.
I want to talk about this 16% number because that refers to the entire country. But you know, here in the West, there's a lot of wide open space. Are the trends the same?
Depends a lot on where you are, what's going on in rural America. In the recreational and retirement areas, which are Idaho certainly has some of, and the West in general has a substantial number of recreational and retirement areas in rural America. Those are parts of rural America actually doing pretty well. They grew by about 12%. In the farming parts of the West, the growth rate was much slower, only about 0.3% growth, and only about 29% of the farm counties even gained population. So it really varies depending on where you are in rural America, what's going on.
When we're talking about how many people live in rural areas, what does it mean for how our economy works?
The relationship between rural and urban America has always been fairly complicated, with rural areas supplying water, food, fiber, recreation for the urban parts of the country, and the urban parts of the country, of course, providing population and the centers for the headquarters of the big corporations. So I think that relationship is going to continue to exist, and it's based partially on population, but partially on other things.
I want you to get out your crystal ball for a second, Kenneth, and look, say, I don't know, like 50 years into the future. Do you think very many people will still be living in rural areas then?
Well, I'm not a big one for projections like that, but I think that rural America is going to remain a viable part of America. It's growing the most on the edges that are near urban areas. With the baby boom retiring, there's going to be a lot of recreational and retirement migration into rural areas. So I think parts of rural America are going to do fine. There are other parts of rural America which have been losing population for decades and probably will continue to fade as the future comes.
senior demographer Kenneth Johnson from the University of New Hampshire. Kenneth, thank you.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com, and by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations, Reputation.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Today, Ford Motor Company announced it's opening a new car factory in Western India. But it's not going to be pumping out F-150s and Explorers. The BBC's Rajini Vadyanathan has more from India.
Most of the 10,000 Ford employees in India work in Chennai. It's called the Detroit of India because of the number of car companies setting up there. The new Ford factory will be in the western state of Gujarat. Cars here are typically smaller than in the US, and the small car market in India is crucial to Ford. Tom Chekalekal works for Ford.
Small cars are part of Ford's future, and being in this market and getting into that segment and winning a share of it is critical to Ford's growth plan globally.
Its Figo is one model aimed at the domestic consumer, as is the Indian-made Tata Nano, the world's cheapest car, which is also produced in Gujarat. In Mumbai, I'm the BBC's Rajini Vaidyanathan for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a new attraction at Toronto's giant CN Tower. Starting Monday, you're going to be able to walk outside of the observation deck up top onto a metal see-through grate and look down 1,200 feet below. No rails. Hopefully you won't drop anything. Your body will be tethered to the building, of course. What is not tethered is the $184 fee that'll disappear from your wallet because of your fascination with heights. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Cod. It's the wave of the future.
The growing conditions in Maine are very good for cod, and it's a kind of a natural choice for us as a state.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, teaching fishermen to be farmers at Cod Academy. That's next time on Marketplace. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street and whatever's happening with the debt story as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.